We made quite a procession as we trooped into the farmyard, and Mr. Kendall met us with his customary ebullience.
Hello, hello. We've got plenty of manpower today, I see. We'll be able to tackle out with this regiment.
Mr. Kendall had the reputation in the district of being a bit clever, and the phrase has a different meaning in Yorkshire from elsewhere. It meant he was something of a know-all, and the fact that he considered himself a wag and leg-puller of the first degree didn't endear him to his fellow farmers either. I always felt he was a good-hearted man, but his conviction that he knew everything and had seen it all before made him a difficult man to impress.
"Well, what do you want to see first, Mr. Farden?"
he asked. He was a thick-set little man with a round, smooth-skinned face and mischievous eyes.
"I believe you have a cow with a bad eye," Siegfried said. "Better begin with that." "Right, squire!"
the farmer cried. Then he put his hand in his pocket.
"But before we start, here's something for you."
He pulled forth a stethoscope.
"You left it last time you were here."
There was a silence. Then Siegfried grunted a word of thanks and grabbed it hastily from his hand. Mr. Kendall continued.
"And the time before that, you left your bloodless castrators. We did a swap over, didn't we? I gave you back the nippers, and you left me the earphones."
He burst into a peal of laughter.
Yes, yes, quite,"
Siegfried snapped, glancing uneasily round at us.
"But we must be getting on. Now where is..." "You know, lads,"
chuckled the farmer, turning to us,
"I don't think I've ever known him come here without leaving summat."
"Really?" said Tristan, interestedly.
"Aye. If I wanted to keep 'em all, I'd have had a drawful by now."
"Is that so?" I said.
"Aye, it is, young man. And it's the same with all me neighbours. One fella said to me t'other day, 'He's a kind man, he's that Mr. Fan, and never calls without leaving a souvenir.'"
He threw back his head and laughed again. We were enjoying the conversation, but my employer was stalking up the byre.
"Where's this damn cow, Mr. Kendall? We haven't got all day."
The patient wasn't hard to find. A nice, light roan cow which looked round at us carefully, one eye almost closed. From between the lashes a trickle of tears made a dark stain down the hair of the face, and there was an eloquent story of pain in the cautious movements of the quivering lids. "Ah, there's something in there," murmured Siegfried.
"Aye, I know,"
Mr. Kendall always knew.
"She's got a flipping great lumpy chaff stuck on her eyeball, but I can't get to it. Look here."
He grabbed the cow's nose with one hand and tried to pry the eyelids apart with the fingers of the other. But the third eyelid came across and the whole orbit rolled effortlessly out of sight, leaving only a blank expanse of white sclera.
"There!"
he cried.
"Nowt to see. You can't make her keep her eye still."
"I can, though." Siegfried turned to his brother.
"Tristan, get the chloroform muzzle from the car. Look sharp."
The young man was back in seconds, and Siegfried quickly drew the canvas bag over the cow's face and buckled it behind the ears. From a bottle of spirit, he produced a small pair of forceps of an unusual type with tiny jaws operated by a spring. He poised them just over the closed eye. "James," he said,
"give her about an ounce."
I dribbled the chloroform onto the sponge in the front of the muzzle. Nothing happened for a few moments while the animal took a few breaths. Then her eyes opened wide in surprise as the strange, numbing vapour rolled into her lungs. The whole area of the affected eye was displayed, with a broad golden piece of chaff splayed out across the dark cornea. I only had a glimpse of it before Siegfried's little forceps had seized it and whisked it away.
"Squeeze in some of that ointment, Tristan,"
said my employer,
"and get the muzzle off James before she starts to rock."
With the bag away from her face and the tormenting little object gone from her eye, the cow looked around her, vastly relieved. The whole thing had taken only a minute or two, and was as slick a little exhibition as you'd wish to see, but Mr. Kendall didn't seem to think a great deal of it.
"All right,"
he grunted.
"Let's get on with next job."
As we went down the byre, I looked out and saw a horse being led across the yard. Siegfried pointed to it.
"Is that the gelding I operated on for fistulous withers?"
he asked.
"That's the one!"
The farmer's voice was airy. We went out and Siegfried ran his hand over the horse's shoulders. The broad fibrous scar over the withers was all that was left of the discharging, stinking sinus of a few weeks back. Healing was perfect. These cases were desperately difficult to treat, and I remembered my boss cutting and chiselling at the mass of necrotic tissue, caressing deeply till only healthy flesh and bone remained. His efforts had been rewarded. It was a brilliant success. Siegfried gave the gelding a final pat on the neck. Ah, that's done rather well. Mr. Kendall shrugged and turned back towards the buyer.
Aye, not bad, I suppose.
But he really wasn't impressed. The cow with the tumour was standing just inside the door. The growth was in the perineal region, a smooth, round object like an apple projecting from the animal's rear end, clearly visible an inch to the right of the tail. Mr. Kendall was in full cry again.
Now we'll see what you're made of. How are you chaps going to get that thing off, eh? It's a big one. You'll need a carving knife or a hacksaw foot job. Are you going to put her to sleep or tie her up or what?
He grinned, and his bright little eyes darted at each of us in turn. Siegfried reached out and grasped the tumour, feeling round the base with his fingers. Hmm. Yes. Hmm.
Bring me some soap and water and a towel, will you please? I have it just outside door.
The farmer scuttled into the yard and back again with the bucket. Thank you very much, Siegfried said. He washed his hands and gave them a leisurely toweling.
Now I believe you have another case to see.
A scouring calf, wasn't it? The farmer's eyes widened.
Yes, I have, but how about getting that big lump off the cow first?
Siegfried folded the towel and hung it over the half door.
Oh, I've removed the tumour, he said quietly.
What's that?
Mr. Kendall stared at the cow's backside. We all stared at it. And there was no doubt about it. The growth was gone. And there was another funny thing. There wasn't even a scar or mark remaining. I was standing quite close to the animal, and I could see exactly, to a fraction of an inch, just where the big ugly projection had been. And there was nothing. Not a drop of blood. Nothing.
Aye,
Mr. Kendall said irresolutely.
You've removed it, aye, that's right.
The smile had vanished from his face, and his entire personality seemed suddenly deflated. Being a man who knew everything and was surprised by nothing, he was unable to say,
when the devil did you do it? And how, and what on earth have you done with it?
He had to maintain face at all costs, but he was rattled. He darted little glances around the buyer along the channel. The cow was standing in a clean, swept stall with no straw, and there was nothing lying on the floor, there or anywhere. Casually, as though by accident, he pushed the milking stool to one side with his foot. Still, nothing.